irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Here on LA Talk Radio Live tonight, so we get to take your calls. I want to thank the Want Institute for bringing us to be here with you each and every Thursday night live. And I want to thank LA Talk Radio for running us all over the place on all the channels and different times. But you can only talk to us live tonight. 323-203-0815 is the number to call. Dr. Allen, you're live on the air.
And I'm looking forward.
Okay, well, we have a very special guest tonight. And good. I know Sam is going to connect up with her. It is Ms. Patricia. We're so glad you're with us.
Thank you Dr. Pat, for having Patricia. Me.
You bet.
Hi, hello. Pat.
Hi, Patricia.
So well, here we are.
I understand that, and I'm looking at the face of your book, The Dream Class, and I remember we've been together for how many years?
Okay, here we go. It's closing in on 30 years, Pat. It's got to be 27, 28 years.
And 30 years ago, you said, I'm going to go study under Pat Allen, PhD, licensed marriage family.
Yeah, that's right, because I had a holistic health clinic at the time with my husband. And since the 80s, 90s, we were very early pioneers in natural healing and holistic health. And I had postgraduate from USC. And my other studies, I did continuing education at the School of Natural Healing and had this health clinic. But I knew there was more to connect with the body and the mind. So that's how I ended up with you, to get deeper into the psychology and become a transactional analysis practitioner myself. And then focusing on dreams. So that was the path.
So why did you pick dreams?
I picked dreams, Pat, because I, as a child, had a traumatic experience, which was being kidnapped and molested. And my dreams had plagued me as a child for years. And I used to call them nightmares, but now we refer to them as scary images trying to bring us messages from our subconscious and our unconscious even deeper. So that's how my personal path got into the dreams, because the dreams were my pathway to handling my own PTSD. And so that's why I'm really love working with people with PTSD, since my own personal experience and then further with my studies and working on this book for many years and teaching this work actually to other therapists, as the convention years ago. So this work has brought me not only my own healing, but to be able to help others, because our dreams is really the back door entrance to our unconscious mind. And that's where all the good, juicy stuff resides. And we can get to it through our dreams.
Okay. But I have people, you know, I taught you some of what you're doing. And I have people that say, but I don't dream.
Ha, ha, ha. We both know that everyone dreams, even our pets dream. All animals dream, and it's a necessary action and a physiological event that takes place while we're sleeping for our health. It's something that is happening during our sleep that is cleansing our toxins out of our brain. And quality sleep, and I don't mean with meds, quality natural sleep brings our brain to homeostasis so that we can function optimally in life.
Well, what do you have to do to be available to your own dreams? These people think that they don't have to do anything to dream, and they don't dream.
Well, we have techniques, and that is found in Chapter 7 in the dream class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself. And you and I had gone over it for many years, how to really refine the technique and being able, Chapter 7 is called How to Capture Your Dreams. So this is a refined technique on how to capture your dreams, which is, I'm going to give away today, is to keep a pad by your bed and a pen and tell yourself.
What is this technique called?
This technique is called setting your lyman. Where's this lyman
is
the state. Yes, this
lyman. A lyman.
The lyman is the state of consciousness between waking and sleeping and waking. So when you are setting intention before you go to sleep, in this state of consciousness, state lasts three to 4 minute period. That's it. So let me finish. When upon waking, you keep your eyes closed for this 3 to 4 minute period while you are in the lyman state, and you can capture images, and you jot them down before you even open your eyes. Scribble it on the pad next to you. Dog, train, house, whatever. A few images you see, you can tie the story together later. But these symbols that show up are key ingredients to the messages bubbling up from your unconscious through your subconscious mind to your conscious mind. And we have this way, we have access to stuff that you didn't think you knew, but you know. And then we decipher, this is what we've been doing all these years, is help teaching people to decipher these symbols and these messages. And it's not like a dream book. There are many dream books out there that are dictionaries, dream dictionaries. No, because dreams are very personal and individual. So the symbols and the scenes will be individual to you as a person. So things that you relate to, the people that show up in your dreams, the animals in your dreams, those are going to be individual. And even colors. I talk about colors in the book, how the different colors represent different energies we have in our bodies. And the different people are representational of the aspects of our own character. So it's really becomes fun. I have people who've been working with me for years who are just blossoming, and people who thought they never dreamed in the past now have elaborate dreams, and their life is unfolding because of their understanding of their subconscious messages. It's just great, and it's great fun, too.
What's fun about it?
Well, if you allow yourself this lucidity, I teach people, and you and I have taught people, to watch your dreams as if you're watching a movie. So not to be afraid of it, because sometimes the images might be scary, but view it like you're viewing a movie.
Why don't we just call them nightmares and take some drugs or something for it?
That's one way to go. We don't advise it. We prefer to understand the messages, and especially when they keep coming, repetitive messages, these are unresolved issues really begging for us to resolve and giving us messages on how to resolve our issues. And it can be to do with our relationships. It can be to do with all our relationships, whether it be your romantic relationships, your business relationships, your family relationships. It can be to do with which direction you want to take in the course of your life. What do I want to be doing with my life and in my work? What do I, how do I see myself spiritually? It's all aspects of life as bubbling up through our dreams. And it's a waste. It's just a waste to not examine it and let us show you how to utilize it.
Yes.
Hello?
Anyway, what's the major thing you've learned from me that you haven't found anywhere else?
Well, we you and I worked on these things for years, honing these techniques, and we really get deeply and have a deep understanding of the yin and the yang of life, which is the masculine and the feminine in us. The masculine being our doing, our productivity, our ideas, and the feminine part of us is our feeling centeredness, how we feel, how we perceive things on a feeling level. So our messages come to us to do with our feelings, our feminine and our masculine side, our mental, the way we think, our ideas, what we're doing. And so that's how we know whether we're going to be talking about one side of our life, one aspect of our life or another.
So what if we dream of a man?
If a man shows up in your dream, this is some feeling centeredness, whether it's an old man, it's an old feeling. If it's a young boy, then it's an emerging feeling, some new feeling. So, and that is because it's paradoxical. And the male figure represents our feelings. And the female in Jungian terms, it's called the anima. So when a female figure comes in, we call it the yin, which is the soul of a man is yin, which is feminine, and the soul of a woman is yang, which is masculine. So when a female figure shows up in a dream, you are dreaming of your work side of life, your productivity, what your ideas are. And this is how we start deciphering it and helping you break it down.
What will your dream class book do for people? How can a normal person walking around use the book?
You can use the book. It's very much like a reference book, besides being a beautiful coffee table book with 22.
Yes, it is. Oh, God, it's a beautiful book.
22 dreamlike images. That is also my photography. I want people to know that my hope is that people develop a greater sense of mindfulness through using these techniques and capturing your dreams and reading the symbols and have a deeper understanding, looking for the deeper answers to the mysteries of life. So I want to bring people to greater awareness to what the universe has to offer you, and not not limit ourselves to just what's in front of us.
Well, I want you now to do a really good commercial about how people can reach you, how they can use you.
Yes, they can. They can reach me. Now, I have a website called thedreamclass.com, and people can email me, because when I have availability for groups, if you email me patricia@thedreamclass.com and let me know you would like to be in one of my groups, reach out to me. And we can do Zoom groups, of course, nowadays. And as I'm based in Florida these days. So this is how people can reach me. My website, thedreamclass.com, and direct email me is patricia@thedreamclass.com. And available and groups. And I do people's church groups. People can have hire me privately as well to do their individual temple or church group or book club. And I'm available. That's what I do.
Good. Have you anything else you want to say?
What I want to say is that my hope is that people allow themselves to explore with me to bring themselves to greater awareness through this wonderful way of accessing your own subconscious than we think we do.
And I want to thank you for being a student and a partner and a colleague for all these years.
All these years, Pat.
Okay. And if you want to be in touch with me, my book is Getting to I Do. And Patricia's work will help you do it.
Yes. Yes. It goes hand in hand.
Hand in hand, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Patricia. Kelly. We're so glad you're with us. Thank you.
All right. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Patricia Altich, everyone. Her book is beautiful. You can find it on Amazon.com, and her website, again, is thedreamclass.com. Patricia Altich, we're so glad she was with us tonight. Dr. Allen, are you ready to rock and roll?
I'm doing it.
Okay, let's get. Well, let's see what Sam's got in store for us on our hot seat list. And again, 323-203-0815 is the number to call. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Pat Allen. Happy New Year,
Hi.
By the way.
Pardon?
Hi. I have a question. So I was dating someone for basically March.
You were dating him or he was dating you?
I believe in this sense, I think I was the one dating him and he was
not
dating me.
Okay, so you were the man, the
honest. Oh, no, sorry. Let me rephrase that. He was dating me.
Okay, so he was pursuing, courting you.
Correct.
Good. So now what's the question?
The question is, he broke up with me. He broke up with me a couple months ago during, we were both drinking, and he was
When you're drinking, you literally knock out your feelings and your neurotransmitters and go up into your intuitive brain with some very strange ideas that may ruin things. Women become men when they use mind-altering drugs. Men become women when they use mind-altering drugs.
Okay. Okay, broke up. We made up. We were friends for a while, and then we made up. And then this past Monday, which was Valentine's Day, he broke up with me.
Did he give a reason?
He said that he thought he was ready to be in a relationship, and he just wants to be alone, and he wants to be friends. It's fine that he wants to be alone. I thought it was very much cruel for him to do it the day of Valentine's, on the day of Valentine's Day, because he had all weekend to pretty much say what he had to say and move on versus waiting. So for me, I felt like it was a message. He was definitely wanted to make sure I got the message, because only someone very cruel that's trying to get their point across.
So what is the question you're asking me?
Okay. So the question I'm asking you, sorry, is I want to write a letter to him expressing
how... The
hi-bye
letter?
Yes.
Okay, have you read my book, Getting to I Do, or Man's World, Woman's You? Are you familiar with my work?
I have not read any of your books, Dr. Pat Allen.
You're just talking to me on the phone.
Yeah.
Okay, therefore, I'm going to give you the structure of a hi-bye letter.
Okay.
And then you can write it, and then you can, if you want, you can call me and read it to me for approval, or you can wait till the next radio show and read it to me so I can show you that I like it or I didn't. And here are the five paragraphs for this letter. Paragraph one, everything you did like about him, love about him, when you first were going with him. How long did you go with him?
For almost a year, 11 months.
Okay, so it was long enough. The first paragraph is everything you did like and love about him. The second paragraph is what you were talking about here, the pain of his dismissal of you. That's the second paragraph. Okay?
Okay.
The third paragraph is what you really don't want to do again, which is have a man do this, especially in the style he did it, the man. Do you want to get married or mated?
Married.
Do you want to be respected first, cherished second, or cherished first, respected second?
Respected first and cherished second.
Then you have to find a man who's a woman. Do you want one of those?
Oh my God. No, I do not.
That's the reason that he left you on Valentine's Day, because it had more feeling. Actually, cruel. I think you were dating a girl with a penis.
Okay. Well, in that
I'm going to give you the rest of what I want to give you. Okay, so you've given him first everything you liked and loved about him. Second, the pain of the way he did his goodbye. Third paragraph is what you don't want ever again in a relationship. The fourth paragraph is what you want in a relationship. And here's the fifth paragraph. Thank you for reading this letter. We call it the hi-bye letter. If you are interested in exploring what this letter is saying to you, give me a call. If you're not, I hope that you have learned something. I am thanking you for giving me the lesson so I never do it again. Did you capture, did you get it captured in writing?
Yes.
Okay. So do you want to write the letter with or without my approval?
I would like to write the letter with your approval. I do have one more question for you, Dr. Pat Ellen.
What's that?
Something that you said is that you said that I was dating a woman. At this point, I'm thinking, do I even waste my energy and time by even writing this letter? Because I did explain to this man what I wanted, and he portrayed at the beginning of the relationship that he was.
Got it, got it. Okay.
So,
no, dear, you do not. The fact that you called me is an indicator that you want to be with him. Was he good in bed?
You know what? We stopped being intimate for a while. I was pretty much doing all the job, all the work. So no, I would say no.
So you have my permission not to write the letter.
Okay.
But if you want to give it another go, this is the one that builds the bridge.
No, I definitely don't want to give it another go.
The purpose of writing the letter.
Go ahead.
Yep. Go ahead.
I said the purpose of me writing the letter, which is basically, I think in the past he's definitely done this to other women, and I don't think anyone has really put him in his place, like respectfully, not yelling or being violent, but saying like you can't do this. So at this point, I'm not even sure if it's even worth my time and energy to even express, because the man is also 47. So he's not, he acts like a little boy, but he's not.
But he is. He runs his life on his feelings like a 3-year-old.
Correct. He does.
So do you want to be his mama?
I do not want to be anybody's mama. I don't have kids, so no.
Okay. Are you willing to read my book, Getting to I Do?
Yes, I am.
Good. That will fill in some of the blanks between what we're saying. I've given you over to write the letter for your sake, because you still have feelings for him, or you want to mother him by educating him about how horrible it was what he did. Fine. Otherwise, next.
Okay.
There are more men out there. Let's see what happens.
Correct. You are absolutely
right. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. You're very welcome. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Happy hunting. All righty. Well, let me see, Dr. Allen. I believe we've got some more calls in our queue, so let's check it out and get it. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, Dr. Pat. How are you? Well, I'm disappointed, although I will say that it was good. I went out with two people that I wasn't that excited about. One ended up being more attractive than I thought. I'm not so sure a great match for the future, but she recently sent me a thanks but no thanks text. So we will not be moving forward. I mean, both of them were nice dates, but I don't think either one is going anywhere.
All right. So what can I do for you tonight?
Well, it's that question of, I have some other women that I could ask out that, you know, based on what I know, what I know so far, it could be the rejection part, but the... you know, how interested in it am I in them part. So on one hand, I've got, okay, well, one was more attractive than I thought, even if it didn't work out. And on the other hand, it's like, oh, you know, why bother? Is it a situation worth waiting for something better to come along?
Well, are you saying you're going in hiatus and you're not going to hunt anymore?
No, I'm not saying I'm not going to hunt. I plan to do that. It's more saying, do I ask out any of the people who are on this list? I know you're big on having like a number one, a two, and a three. And yeah, these are like a bunch of number threes, I would say.
Well, that's not dating. That's duty dating. That's practicing, yeah, opening doors, ordering food to the table, commitment. I'm a transactional analyst. I help people negotiate. The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the commitment you're willing to negotiate and keep. So do you want a duty date, or do you want to conserve your energy and only date potentials?
That's where I'm going back and forth. The idea of you've made a very good point to me before, which is, okay, give them a chance. You really don't know until you're out with somebody.
And I suggest you date three people three times, because chemistry sometimes doesn't show its sexy head until you've been comfortably dating three times.
Yeah, and I certainly would have with at least one of these women, maybe both, but at least one. But she didn't show interest. And sometimes I go back and forth on that. If they give me a thanks but no thanks, and I'm interested, what do you think is a good way to follow up with that?
First of all, decide if she's a date or a duty date. That's what I'm saying.
You're saying
you're going with your right brain lobe, which is feelings, and then you jump over and go with your left lobe, factual and very pragmatic. But that's narcissism when you go back and forth between feel good and do good. Do you want to date any of these? Well, had two. Do you want a duty date?
I want to date people that that I'm interested in, that catch my attention visually. But I realize that the visual stuff is not what makes by itself what makes a lasting relationship. But
I know that, but that means, Pat, Dr. Allen, whatever you want to call me, dating them three times gives you three opportunities to combine the practical, the spiritual, the physical. So if you're going to date, pick with your eyes. Women pick often with their ears. Oh, you've got a job. Oh, you own that car. Oh, men on the other. Wow. You guys are very, very eye-centered with the beauty and the conformity of women that you want to make love to eventually and maybe give babies in marriage to. Do you see? So right now, I'm asking you, for this week, will you attempt to date or duty date, or do two duty dates in one date? But I'm saying, would you do what I'm saying by your choice?
I'll certainly do my choice. I did have my birthday was it yesterday? I guess it was yesterday. And I realized I was driving past one of the women who has definitely been here yet to consider going out with her. But I'm like, it's my birthday. I'm going to do what I want to do. And I can reach out to her another time, because I haven't physically met her yet. And I love what you say about chemistry, you know, the smell, you know, all those, all that combination of stuff to really find out if you're attracted to somebody. Because I realize over time that I've had, you know, girlfriends that lasted a while that I wouldn't have necessarily found them incredibly attractive at the beginning, but it definitely grew over time.
Does this woman that has your eye, does she know you? Do you work in the same place? What is it?
No. I think I have more of her eye, but no, we met on the Zoom speed dating thing that I told you about. She's too far away. Since the one that I had my Sunday date with that was, you know, more attractive than I expected, since she has taken herself out of the running, does leave an opportunity for somebody else to go have coffee with. And I agree, you know, you learn more about yourself by dating, that's for sure, than thinking about it.
Do you want to make an effort to have a date with that woman this week?
I'm thinking that I have a couple that are possibilities that either her or maybe one or two others, I can say, okay, I've still got some birthday things going on this weekend, but I think I have some time on Saturday. So I could see, who's available on Saturday to find out what's there.
Are they going to be real dates or duty dates?
So what exactly is the difference?
The duty date is a practice date, like a cotillion. When I was young, they used to do dances. Parents would put kids together to teach them how to act like a lady and a gentleman. Cotillions. So with that in mind, are you going to make an effort to start dating some women this week? Not duty date them. You picked them with your eyes and you negotiate, hopefully, some kind of date.
Yes, I think I wouldn't consider them a duty date. I'm going to find if something.
If they're potentially.
Yes. Decide whether they're potentially.
I told you about the Harvard study. Harvard in the 90s did an evaluation of about 10,000 people that come and go on the campus. They asked people, why did you marry? Why did you mate? Mating and marriage are the same contract, except one is legal and the other one is not legal. It's just a monogamy, continuity, and longevity without a license and without a marriage. And so that, are you willing to pick women with your eyes and then somehow ask them to have coffee or something?
I am willing to do that. So am I hearing from you not to date the ones that, even though I haven't met them in person, the ones that I have some doubts about?
But you have no, if you met some people through the apps, you're dating them because you're attracted to what's in the app.
Well, I physically talked to them over the computer and, you know, so talking to them, I think there was.
But are you willing to aim for ultimately a 3-date situation to evaluate the potential for a committed relationship?
Yes. That's my goal.
Good.
And I certainly appreciate you always reminding me and us, your listening audience, of that.
All right. So this week, you're not going to duty date.
I'm not going to date for practice, but I will hope, no matter what comes of no matter what comes of it, to get, you know, whatever lesson there is. I know you've emphasized that in the past before, to at least say, all right, well, I've been talking to them for a little while. Let's find out what's actually there.
You might just say something like, I'm attracted to you. Are you willing to have coffee?
Yes. You're talking about to somebody new.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I mean, that's challenging. I'm better at that than I used to be. But,
you're duty dating and on hiatus.
Yeah, so I've got three choices. Part of me thinks hiatus might not be a bad idea, but I have a tough time shutting it down. I always think that something bigger and better is around the corner.
I feel you agree with that, except that if you keep going around corners, you're walking in circles.
Well, that's a good point too. I know there have been some things that have repeated themselves in my life.
Pick with your eyes, that's chemistry, and ask with your mouth for something, tea, coffee, meal, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay. All right. Well, thank you again, Dr. Pat. It's
I invite other men to call.
Yes, I'm not the only one out there, but I definitely appreciate the time I get from you.
Good. All right.
All right. Thank you.
Happy hunting.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All righty. I believe we've got another caller on the line, and Sam will get him for us. 323-203-0815 is the number to dial to hop into the hot seat with Dr. Pat Allen and ask your questions. All right. Okay, let's see.
Your call is automatic.
But I talk to you, not your voicemail. Hey, I want to let everyone know that Dr. Allen does some amazing groups. And if you'd like to get on our waiting list, you can reach out via email to info@drpatallen.com to get on one of those waiting lists. They're pretty amazing groups and they're ongoing. So do that, reach out. Dr. Allen also does script class, and she also does high bi-letter critiques. And the place to go to get the information on that and to book your session is also via email, info@drpatallen.com. Dr. Allen, are you ready? Since our caller gave us a voicemail, I have a question for you. And here's what it says. Dr. Allen takes me to dinner and asks me to pay the check once it arrives. The guy's credit card had expired and he asked me to pay. I felt pressured and I paid. He paid me back immediately at the restaurant through a money transfer app. If he asked me out again, how do I say I will not pay when a man is courting me?
Well, this man apparently had a money problem without money in his pocket or purse and whatever. And so I'm not saying that he's going to do it every time he calls you, but you've got a message and you gave him the money and he paid you back, which was
honorable.
What?
It was. He did it. He paid her back instantly.
Know anyone until you have more than one experience with them. So if he calls you back for another date, you just assume that you're not going to pay for it And you'll ask him, do you expect me to pay for your date with me? Whoever asks for the date pays for the date. That includes women.
I agree. That's how I was raised.
If a man wants to split, there are three kinds of relationships. Convenient, in which you each contribute money, chores, whatever. Codependency, mm-hmm. That's where one of you pays for both of you. And another one is the covenant, in which you're seriously involved and committed, and one of you is paying the bills, and the other one is creating a home and a family. So in this situation, you've been signaled that he's a gentleman when he gets into a bind about money. So
are you there, Dr. Allen? Uh-oh, it looks like we dropped Dr. Allen, but there you are. Hi, Dr. Pat. Yeah, you got cut off there in a minute. So you were saying he said he's a gentleman. Please continue.
Saying that he handled that faux pas nicely, and if he calls back when he says, I want to take you out on Tuesday or whatever it is, you'll say, do you expect me to pay my way? And he says, sure. Why do I have to pay? And you say, because I don't feel cherished if I do pay for my way to your date.
I agree with that. I think that's completely right. But I do think that he just, like you said, had a faux pas, and he corrected it immediately.
Then give him a chance to ask again, but ask him if he expects you to pay your way, because if he does, you're not
right.
I specialize in courtships.
If I know you
are just wanting a date for dinner and sex, that's not needing courtship. Courtship is building a future together, but at least exploring it to see if you want it.
Hey, Dr. Allen, you have a bad line. Sam's going to disconnect you and call you back.
Okay.
All right, everyone, we're just going to get Dr. Pat Allen back on the air here, and there she is. Hello, Dr. Pat.
This is Dr. Pat Allen.
I got now. Okay, let's try that again, everyone. Again, if you're interested in those groups.
Hello. Or
there you are. Yeah. Okay.
I'm poking the little button, but it doesn't work, and it did work. Okay.
Okay, so here we go. I have another question for you. And this one says, I broke up with my boyfriend 4 weeks ago. I was with him for over a year, and the relationship was not leading toward marriage. I saw him while I was out. Does that restart the 8 weeks? I just saw him. I didn't smell him.
Okay. Well, seeing him and smelling him, if you really dated him, you maybe got, I don't know if you dated him
for a year.
Well, that's called friends with perks. So I am a licensed marriage family therapist, and if you want me to help you get into a marriage-bound relationship, the first thing I tell you is, please do not be a free wife, which would be you act like a wife sexually, and it doesn't go anywhere for a year. So I recommend that you don't do casual sex, but that you say, thank you for being interested in the romance with me, but I've made a commitment to myself, but force-wise, if I'm in a monogamous, continuous, weekly, and marriage-bound relationship. And if you say,
perfect. Well, hey, we've got a caller on. Let's take our caller. Caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. I had called a few weeks ago regarding my daughter, who's 18. I just wanted to update you that.
What happened with her?
Well, we're like roommates, and she just sleeps here. So she's doing well.
Is she sleeping there and being friendly when she's walking from the bathroom to the bedroom?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So are you willing to be roommates?
Yes, and I think it's been very helpful to look at it like that. So
you liked my recommendation?
Yes. Yeah.
How old is she?
18.
There's a book called Brainstorms by Dan Siegel, who's an extremely good LA research therapist. It's called Brainstorms. I want to tell you something, and whoever's listening, that teenagers, and she still qualifies, teenagers do not produce enough dopamine to be happy. That's why they sometimes climb out of windows to go play with rave parties. They do things that you don't like them to do, usually with sex and oftentimes booze and stuff. So what they do is cause the chaos at home. But if you don't react to their dopamine-free, dopamine is a neurotransmitter along with serotonin, GABA, and norepinephrine. These are in our bodies to help us take action. But the problem with being a teenager is they don't make enough dopamine, according to Dr. Siegel. Anyway, by doing nothing in the way of mother-daughter, you are basically making friendship with your daughter during her stressful time. And when she gets up there past 18, she will become more dopamine-oriented. So it would be, I think, a very comforting book.
Mm-hmm. And I had another question.
Did you like the one I just gave you?
Yes, I wrote it down. Thank you.
Okay. It's just helping you understand, and you're doing the prescription I gave you to be a roommate, a tenant, more than a mother.
Right.
Okay. Now your next question.
I'm 54, and my fiance is 64.
Yep. You're in your perimenopause. Yeah. Have you gone through menopause?
Yes.
Okay, so you're already into it. And he's 64. He's gone through his andropause. Their testosterone goes down like our estrogen goes down. And we become more aggressive, assertive, and they become more sensitive. So what is the issue that's coming up in your new trial changing?
The first is he does snore quite loud. I don't want to hurt his feelings, but I don't think that
then
I can get any
plugs
sleep
in your ears.
Okay.
Go get earplugs.
All right.
Is there something wrong with that?
Well, because I have a guest room, so he goes to sleep in the guest room. Is that, but I don't want him to feel like, I've never said anything.
I just asked you to get earplugs.
Yeah, earplugs.
Did you answer me?
Yes, I will get earplugs.
Okay. If you have earplugs, you may be able to sleep with him. Is there a reason that you don't want earplugs?
Well, it's so loud. I don't know if they would really be effective.
Okay.
It's so loud.
Then are you in a committed relationship?
Yes.
Do you want me to give you the tools to speak?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to be respected by him like you're his mother?
No.
Okay. Do you want to be cherished by him?
Yes, cherished.
Okay. Then I'm going to teach you how to ask him to sleep. Is he sleeping in the guest room now?
Well, he starts the night in my room, and then I think he moves over to the guest room. So, yes, he is.
Is that okay to start in the room, cuddle a little bit, and then go in the other room? Is that okay with you?
I think that would be ideal, because then I could get sleep.
Okay.
But he does.
All right.
Yes, he just starts.
So I'm going to give you the tool. I have four tools. I will give you the one you need. Number one, you're going to bring up something sensitive, so I want you to get an appointment with him to tell him what it is. And it would be, I'll just call him Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, I wanted to ask you for a favor.
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to hear me?
Okay.
What would he say? Would he answer yes or no?
Yes.
Okay.
Answer, yeah.
I really appreciate that you're a human being and that the fact that you snore is biological, although I know there are snoring devices.
Yes.
But if you're unwilling to purchase that, I have a suggestion. In fact, you ask him, is it convenient if I give you some suggestions?
Okay.
And this one is, are you willing to come to bed with me, cuddle, and when you're ready to go to sleep, go to the guest room?
Mm-hmm.
So make an appointment to ask him for a favor. Make sure it's convenient for him to hear you. Is it convenient for you to hear me now? And then say your suggestion. Cuddle together, make love, whatever, and then move to the guest room.
Okay.
Or have you thought about getting an apparatus that will help you breathe better when you go to bed?
Yes.
You might have you asked him to do that?
No, I haven't, because I wanted to get the right way to say it.
Have you got a paper and a pencil right now?
Well, I've written it down, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, step one is ask him for an appointment to talk to him about something sensitive. That's one.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Two is convenient time to listen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Three is the suggestion or two.
Yes.
And what does he think about it? Yes or no?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Good luck. The important thing is make an appointment for the subject. Don't just, I want you to go sleep in the other room. That's too much like mama.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's very much, like I'm the female and he's the male, even though I think I have a lot, I'm financially a lot more better off than he is. And, but
well,
I mean,
you're going into another story now. Are you asking me to do something else?
Yeah.
Okay. So what's the problem? You've got more money than he has?
Right. And, I'm,
are you engaged?
Yes.
Okay, have you done a prenup? Are you going to get married or are you going to just mate?
I'm thinking about both situations now.
Well, I'm asking you, are you thinking you want to mate or do you want to legally marry him?
Well, we're very happy, so I'm thinking mate. I don't know if we need marriage. We're already beyond.
Then why don't you say, I don't need to be married?
Mm-hmm.
But I do not believe in living together without being engaged.
Yeah, no, we're engaged. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're engaged even if you never marry. You still have a higher title than live-in girlfriend.
Yes.
Live-in girlfriend is friends with perks. That's not really building anything.
Mm-hmm.
When you live together, engaged, you're playing house. You're living together.
Mm-hmm.
You may buy a house together.
Yes.
You said?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you see the part negotiating time, space, money, and play?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I have a new book. It's A Man's World and a Woman's Universe, which has tools in there and directions. Mm-hmm. So if you want, negotiate the boundaries of your relationship living together.
Mm-hmm.
Are you living together?
Not now, but we plan on it this summer.
Okay. Do you have a ring on your mm-hmm. finger now?
Yes. Yes, I do. And he
good.
Has one too.
Good. That's
actually.
Just fine. Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah. He wears one also. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to hear the other three tools?
Yes.
The one I just gave you is called the five-step cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
The one that I'm going to give you now is if he says or does something and you speak to him at that moment, you say, honey, you had every right to say that or do that, but I don't feel good about it. Are you willing not to do that? Say that.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I said? Men need to be respected in order to cherish you. So when you say to him, you have every right to say, think, be, feel, or do that, but I'm uncomfortable with it. Are you willing to stop doing that with me? Whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Got it?
Yes.
The third tool is 90% of communication is body language, tone of voice, gestures, postures, facial expressions. Honey, I sense by the look on your face you're upset about something. Am I right? I don't want to talk about it. You have every right not to want to talk about it, but now I know you're upset. What can I do to help you and I do better.
Mm-hmm.
Do you hear that?
Yes.
Good. So those are the three communication ones. And there's one that's based on words to use, but...
Yes. Well, thank you very much. Okay, I appreciate
so call again.
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Good luck. Okay, I think Sam has got another call for us at the switchboard. And if you want to hop on the hot seat, you can dial in. 323-203-0815 is the number to call. And if
Hello?
You're looking for Dr. Allen, oh, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I wanted to check in with Pat today. Hi, Pat.
Hi.
My partner passed. I've worked really hard to find her through your principles, and I did. So she passed in July.
Am I talking to a person? I'm just asking clarification. Okay, so are you mated or are you married?
Well, we were partnered for 10 years. And
wow.
It was through working with you. And it was really funny. One time after a long period of time, you looked at me and you said, "And how long have you been working with me?" It took a while. And then when I found her, I brought her in. I was so proud.
Good. And so what are you calling for?
I'm just calling to connect because, you know, I'm back to, you know, duty dating. I mean, I remember you saying you've had a few that have passed and, you know, you just, you don't.
Are you saying that your partner died?
Yes, in July.
Okay, I didn't quite get past in the classical term. So how are you going to a grief group?
Yeah, I work with somebody you know very well. I want to be respectful of names. Catherine, I worked with Catherine a long time.
Okay.
And
that's great.
I know you're very specific about asking, you know, well, what's the problem and then what's the question? I know how you
I'm
work.
I'm a cognitive behavioral transactional analyst, marriage, family, child therapist.
Yeah.
But I'm retired as a therapist.
Yeah.
So I'm a coach.
Yes, and I know I thought I heard that you were doing something on Zoom, if that's okay to talk about.
Oh, yeah, that's perfect. It's five women come and hire me as a coach. There's no billing. There's just you hire me for four-week sessions of an hour and a half. We have 10 groups available. And a waiting list if we need it, but that's where people come and get coached by Pat Allen.
I love it. Do I send the email?
And by the way, the money that
yes.
you pay goes to the Want Institute to keep this radio show.
Okay.
You reach out to info@drpatallen.com via email to get on the waiting list.
info@drpatallen.com. .com. So it's been 6 months. She passed in July. And obviously, I'm not rushing things, but I am duty dating. I'm applying
Good.
To principles.
You're distracting your pain.
Yes. That's
Kubler
what I
Ross has, I'm going to give you a title of a book. Kubler Ross is a therapist noted for her grief work.
I know
and
her. At her.
Okay.
Before,
So, therefore, I don't need to give you that. You've already got it. So we've given you the opportunity to join month to month. You hire me for four.
Okay.
But you can rehire me. It's not the same as therapy, but I'm still a therapist. In other words, there's no way to take a therapist out of a therapist. I just don't practice it as a business.
Yeah, no, I spent a lot of time in your groups.
But I'm saying I have, but there are only five women to each group. I have one group that meets that's three women, but they do half hour. They hire me for half an hour a week, where the other group gets 15 minutes each week.
Yes. Well, I'll send for the info, if I may ask, you know, the grief process, it is part of life.
What?
The grief process is just part of life. Is that accurate?
No, I do whatever you need to be done. I'm not just for grief. I'm for dealing in relationships or starting your life up. What I'm saying is, whatever you need, I will coach you into it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll send to the this email info at, and I'll keep listening to your show.
Keep calling. Do you have a question today?
Well, your experience with grief, it just is there. It just, when it's there, it's there. Is that even a question? I'm sorry. It's just, it's so painful.
What I deal with is, are you suicidal?
No.
Are you not working? I deal with the practical aspects.
Yeah. I love
that
about.
So are you dysfunctional? I'm a cognitive behavioral therapist. I deal with negotiation within yourself and other people at work and at home when you're suffering with the grief.
Yeah.
Feelings themselves are not negotiable, other than drugs, meds, murder, and suicide.
Yeah. No, I'm sober.
Oh, good. Excellent.
I'm 31 years.
I have 51.
I know you do. I know you do.
I'm older than most buildings. I'm 87 years old. And 51 years sober. I've lived.
I know. You're so cool.
Well, somebody once told me that I was the oldest teenager they'd ever met.
Yeah.
And that fits pretty good. Okay, you're laughing. You're laughing.
I know.
That's me.
Humor. I love your humor.
So if I want to hire me for...
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll put my info in, and God bless you, Pat. Dr. Pat.
God bless you.
Okay, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. See what we got going on. Let's check in with Santa Clipboard and see if we have, oh yeah, we've got another caller. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen in the hot seat. You have a question.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, you have to turn your radio down.
Yes, I will. It's not a question. It's actually a comment about a book that I have read that I wanted to share.
Oh, good.
Wait, I want to take this off. Okay, there. Yeah.
So what's the book that you want your fellow females to read?
Okay, it's You Were Not Born to Suffer.
Wow, what's his last name?
Bauer, Blake Bauer, B-A-U-E-R. And I
now,
would like to...
Written, mm-hmm. What do you want to say about it?
I want to say that it took me 40 years of working in therapy, going to university classes in psychotherapy, working with the great David Viscott, working with you, doing weekend seminar with you. For 40 years, I have been on the search. I have read the books on Maslow and Ellis and, you know, all the greats. And I got there. I'm there today. It took me 40 years. And then last week, I'm listening to the radio. I hear a fella talk about, my God, if I would have had this book 40 years ago, I wouldn't have had to spend 40 years making all the wrong choices for myself. And so I wanted to share it because he makes it so easy to understand that everything comes from self-love, and that only when we give ourselves the love and the respect and the kindness, and oh, by the way, there was 5 years of inner child dialogue work that I did. He even goes into that. He gives you exercises. He gives you questions to ask yourself.
Ooh, he sounds cognitive behavioral.
Yes, I think that's what you call it. And I'm just so taken that there is such a wonderful, helpful book out there that other people can know about and get through it faster than 40 years. That's what I wanted
very
to share.
Very good. Very good. I appreciate you loving your fellow human being.
Yes.
Is the book written specifically for women?
Oh, no. It's for anyone. Yeah.
It says, you know, you're not... But what's the title of it again?
You Were Not Born to Suffer. And I have always believed that God's will, the whole reason that we're even here, is to be happy. That's what I've always believed. And I never quite got there until now. But he... With the name of the title of the book, it was like, yeah, that's right. We weren't born to suffer. We were born to be happy. And he leads you down the road on how to do that.
Now, you know my work, transactional analysis.
Yeah, for 27 years.
The only way you work if you make and keep agreements.
Right. Right.
So
exactly
I deal
right.
with negotiating agreements.
Yes.
And his book explains why.
Yes.
And I honor you for honoring him. So good. Do you want to say anything else? How is your life going?
Oh, my life, it took all these years, and especially the isolation that he had done as well. I had read that he had also had to go into isolation to really sit back and look at what did I do? Did I really want to be doing that? Was I doing things to please people? Did I live my life, you know, caring about the next person and ignoring my own needs? And it's finally there to where every single moment of every single day is so grateful and so joyful that
so you were mothering everybody else but you.
Exactly. And so now that I'm at this place, I feel like my life is just starting because now I'm loving myself and any choice I make will be
Bless
with
you.
Love. Yes, and I want
Are
to thank
you,
doing you, Pat.
Your Lyman setting?
I am doing my Lyman setting, and I am accomplishing almost daily on not everything. I still have more to go, but yes, I'm on the path. I'm definitely on the path.
Very, very good.
Yes, so I wanted to thank you for all the good work that you have given me, and you continue to give me.
Good, excellent, and thank you for being a good client who loves her fellow clients. which is what I like to work for. I don't work for money, especially now, but I work for loving, teaching yes. people to love each other.
Yes, and now that okay. I understand, it comes from the self first, and then once we got that love, then we've got something to give.
You got to be an I to be a we to be an us.
Exactly, exactly. And I wish good. I would have known this long before this. So those people who want to find it out sooner than later, I think this is the best book out I've ever seen.
Good, yeah. good, good.
Okay. Thank you so
Thank
much
you so
for all
much.
Your good work. Okay. Take
Thank
care.
You for this call.
I recognize that voice. Thank you.
Yeah, you
so
do, Kelly.
Much.
Thank you, guys. I love your show. Yeah. Okay.
Awesome.
Take care.
Thank
now.
You for calling.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. I believe we've got another caller coming up. And
good.
Sam at the switchboard, the big guy at LA Talk Radio, always takes such good care of us, getting us our calls lined up and taking great care of us. So there we go. Caller, you are live in the hot seat. Do you have a question?
I do have a question.
What is it?
Awesome.
I was in a relationship.
With what? Man or woman?
A male.
Okay. Was he courting you or were you courting him?
I think we were courting one another because he did nice things for me. I did nice things for him. We both are seniors. I'm 74. He's 78, and we met in an online setting where he reached out and I answered, and
would you mind telling what's the name of the business that successfully impressed you?
It was either Zeusk or J-Date, one of the two. Not 100%
okay.
sure.
Okay.
We are both from the Midwest and Jewish and had a lot of things in common. And
great.
That was fun. And I embraced meeting.
What do you want from me?
Well, this is interesting. His problem with me is that I was not available enough. I have a business called, it's a senior caring business. And I take calls and work with my seniors sometimes overnight, but often during the days. I am very
Had
slammed.
Had you negotiated with your boyfriend time, space, money, and play? Relationships are like any business. You've got to evaluate monthly at least whether you need more time, less time, what time. You've got to negotiate. Have you read my book?
Not yet, but I plan to.
Okay, well, there's two. There's one I wrote in the 90s called Getting to I Do, but there's a summary book that I've just done a few months ago, and it's called It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe. And it goes over a synthesis of all my work. So what the chapter
that sounds
in the
like
book
something
is,
I need to do. Okay.
Right. And one of the chapters is cutting a deal. It's basically negotiating time, space, money, and play. And I would be more than willing for you to write up what you want and especially what you don't want and to critique it before you give it to him and let him write one back for you. You guys need to negotiate your deal.
That's a great plan. I like it. And
good.
I think that makes sense. And then I won't be disappointed when I don't get a phone call for Valentine's Day.
That's right, because you have to have the contract. You see? So let's set you up to negotiate.
Okay.
What?
Okay. That sounds like it could work much better.
Chapter 14 says, striking a deal. It's right there.
Okay. So what I should be able to do is...
Right now, before you even read the book, put down how much time you want to be with him and how much time you want to be with work. How much time? Do you live with him?
No, absolutely not. No.
Okay.
I don't do that because if I did, he'd be very happy, I'm certain. But I agree. For us to be.
Are you willing?
No, we're not. In the
do you want to marry him someday? Or do you want to?
Well, these
just
are tough
make?
Questions. I have to know him a lot. Yeah. Mating, go ahead.
Mating is you don't live together, but you're committed to being monogamous, continuous, and long-term. And then do you share money? Do you split the bill for your dates and things?
We've done both. He had found out he had a medical diagnosis that was upsetting to him, and I brought him dinner. Other times we don't split it at the table, but he'll take me out a couple times and I'll take him out. So we kind of,
I know it does not help an organized relationship. He needs to know what he can expect and not expect. You need to know the same thing. So would you be so kind, even if you go in a bookstore or somehow get a book, Getting to Ideal, Chapter 14, you need to negotiate time, I, we, and us, space, no, because you live separately, money, yes, and play, non-sexual and sexual. Do you have intercourse with them?
Have, yes, yep.
Have you stopped having? Yep. Is something changed?
Well, we just haven't been together because he was frustrated with not being able to see me on a timely or a regular basis. And I'm not
then
willing.
Then he needs to know when the schedule is. Would you please find out?
Yeah. Yes.
Do you see what I'm saying? So sex comes.
He's retired. And he's retired. He wants a...
I fully understand that, but no matter whether you're retired or not, you still have to negotiate time, space, money, mine, yours, and ours, and play non-sexual or sexual. Do you bowl? Do you play tennis?
We hike, walk.
Okay,
you know,
you
hike any of the outdoor stuff.
That's great.
Yeah, love that.
The point is, I want it documented and signed so that you know, and upgraded every month.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah. No, what you're saying makes sense, Dr. Pat. Thank you for taking my call.
Good.
Really appreciate
Thank you
your
for calling.
Time. Yes.
Okay?
I hope I'll get back to you one day and say that I read what you told me to read, and it all worked. So,
I know it works.
You.
I've been doing it for 51 years. I'm 87 years old.
Oh, you're a few years older than I am, not by much.
Yeah, but I'm, like I said, I'm enjoying my life, but I live by what I teach. So please follow.
Okay. So I am supposed to be forgiving on Valentine's Day. The thought was, why didn't you reach out to me on a special day? And he's probably thinking the same thing.
I got
why didn't
news
she
for you.
Reach out to me?
You have not negotiated gift giving for birthdays, for Christmas, for Hanukkah, for whatever. There are three major problems by saying, I think we should exchange presents for Christmas or Hanukkah. Are you Jewish?
Yeah.
And okay, that's too. Why I thought I'd pick that up. So when to do gifts, when not to do gifts. Mm-hmm. There are three major issues that cause trouble in negotiating. One is evasiveness, not giving numbers. I will see you three times a week from 4 till overnight, or whatever. Everything has got to be dictated. How much he can either counteroffer, refuse, or agree. You're not negotiating.
Okay.
And you need
to. You're right.
Read the chapter 14 in my book.
Okay.
Getting to
I will do that. And that doesn't mean you have to marry. Perfect.
I don't agree with living together unless you're married, though, unless you're engaged.
Well, I don't want us to be living together, and it's unusual.
I just agreed with you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
But I still want you to treat the relationship like a business.
Okay.
Okay.
Instead of just in my heart thinking, why didn't he call or why didn't this happen?
I got news for you. You had a magic idea of what he should know about what you were asking him to mind read you. He can't mind read you.
I thought most people could.
No, they can't. I'm telling you that you need to negotiate time, space, money, and play, sexual and non-sexual.
Okay.
And under money, gift giving is under there.
Okay, I'll take this seriously and go forward with it and quit.
Excellent.
Negative that, and I will move on and go forward.
We couldn't mind read.
Okay.
All right.
The three what? Hold on. The three blocks. Evasiveness is one block. What's the other two?
Evasive, secretive mind reading. You expect your partner to secretly mind read you. And the third one is
abrupt.
Being too abrupt. Yeah, that's right. Too abrupt. And that's where you say, I'm done. Get out. That's where you start chopping it down to bits. So evasive, mind reading, and abrupt are not building a loving relationship.
Okay.
All right.
Those are great learning blocks for me. I will go forward, and I will get back to you one day and say,
good.
I let that go, or I moved on, or I'm in a relationship. Thanks to you.
Right.
I will get back to you. Thank you.
Thank you,
Dr. Pat, for taking the time. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Paula.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, and like you say, Dr. Pat, accept, reject, but do not tolerate. Okay, let me see here. We have another question in our queue. And so the question is, hi, Pat. I got engaged in December after dating for 2 years. How long is too right? How long is too long to be engaged without a wedding date?
Yes, 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 yes.
So she wants to know how long she can be engaged without having a wedding date set.
Relationships are, in my world, the way I see them, the first 3 months are perfect. Everybody's trying to be perfect. Everybody's doing it what they think is right. But as we know, humans are human. The second 3 months are imperfect. He's doing things that don't please you. You're doing things that don't please him. The third 3 weeks are when you're negotiating.
Oh my goodness, we've lost Dr. Pat. I know Sam's getting her back, so I'll just mention that if you want to sign up for those groups, info@drpatallen.com is the email address to get to. There you are, Dr. Pat. Welcome back.
Hi. First 3 months are perfect. Second 3 months are imperfect. Third 3 months are when you discuss engagement, living together. And the fourth 3 months are when you're doing the wedding. I don't believe you know anybody until you know them a year. But by the time you're into the whole year, you need to know where it's going. And I don't believe in having intercourse unless you're in a monogamous, continuous relationship going where you want to go, whether it's marriage or not marriage.
Otherwise, right.
Here's what I say. Beware of your thoughts, they become words. Beware of your words, they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. Be aware of your character, it becomes your destiny. Making a living, being healthy, and being able to negotiate with a loving human being or raise loving kids or just be in love.
Right. So I guess a few years, they've gotten engaged in December, but they haven't set a wedding date.
Well, then that's like saying, I want to buy your car and not putting the money down. Is it going to get the job done?
Right. So at this point in time, if there's no date set, then are they just perpetually engaged forever?
Yes, I have people that never, ever marry. They don't want to marry for one reason or another. And as far as I'm concerned, as long as they both agree to be monogamous, continuously see each other, and be together as long as they love each other, marriage is basically for raising kids.
Definitely.
Woman, men do not wake up and say, I want to be married. Because marriage for a man is a responsibility, and some, and maybe a lot, of men don't want the responsibility. So you've got to, I do not want people to make love until they know if they're in a committed relationship.
Right. Yes. I agree that. Oh, and by the way, Dr. Pat, just so you know, you were trending earlier today on Facebook.
What?
You were trending earlier today. They were talking about you on Facebook today.
They were.
Trending. You were trending. As a matter of fact, it was quite a heated argument between a Pat Allen follower and a Pat Allen skeptic. It was quite an interesting read. I think you would have enjoyed it.
Oh, great.
So listen,
I'm glad they did.
Yeah. It's pretty ongoing. It seems to be going on still right now. So I was just peeking at that. Before we go, we have a couple of minutes, and I'd really like for you to explain the script class. I've got a lot of inquiries on it.
Okay.
Kind of explain what goes on.
Well, first of all, I'm a transactional analyst created by Eric Byrne. Eric Byrne was a therapist, a psychiatrist, worked up by San Francisco, and he studied under Freud for a little while, but Freud didn't like what he did with his transactional analysis, which I just read you the beware of your thoughts and words and all that. Anyway, he started to research that every human being has been scripted by culture, by family, by religion, every church, every business has a plan that they either know or they don't even know. And if you're interested in having your script read by me, it takes me an hour, you call my office. So where do they call, Kelly? Okay. And so when I do, and if you want to read about what I read, Claude Steiner was a protege of Eric Byrne, and he wrote a wonderful book. It's called Scripts People Live. And it's what I do. We send you a series of pages, 27 questions, and I read them to show you the impact of a man's soul, his anima, on his life, and a woman's soul, the animus, the effect on her life, and where they can change it and renegotiate time, space, money, and play with all the relationships in their life to see if they're getting what's out of it. So with this script is how you were programmed. By the age of 3, you are already scripted. And then people like me and other therapists work with you to change. But my way of doing it is with transactional analysis.
Brilliant. And then when they do set one of those appointments, they're sent some forms and paperwork for them to fill out that describes how they react to certain questions and the information. And it's a pretty intensive program. I definitely suggest it. So reach out if you're interested in doing that to info@drpatallen.com to set that script appointment. Hold that in our groups to get on info@drpatallen.com via email. And Dr. Allen, what do you have to say before we go tonight?
Well, I'm going to say what I've already said. The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the contracts, commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Indeed. Indeed, Dr. Allen. Thank you, everyone, for being here with us tonight. Until we're back with you next Thursday, take good care. We love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.